Great. Well, I'll tell you what, why don't we go ahead and get started? It's a couple minutes after 7. And thanks so much, everyone, for joining. We really appreciate it. And just very, very excited to get a chance to speak with you, who are collectively a critical piece of the spine of American forests. I can't really emphasize that enough. I've been doing this work in nonprofit organizations for a couple of decades now, and one thing that I've seen again and again is that folks like you who provide such critical financial support for the work that we do, but even more importantly, are the kind of people who tell your friends about American forests and bring other supporters to our organization, who plug into the kind of work that we do as volunteers, who are the folks who are most likely to write letters when we need help on our advocacy campaigns, and in so many other ways act as kind of de facto extension of the staff of our organization. So I just want to thank you for being loyal supporters of American Forests and really giving us the capacity to be successful. And one of the things that we're really going to focus on in the near future is continuing to engage folks and bring folks in to be part of the Sequoia Circle and part of the volunteer leaders for this organization. So we really appreciate your time tonight as a chance to give you kind of an inside look at how we're thinking about the future of American forests. I can tell you for myself, I've been working in this field for a long time now, and this just feels like a dream come true. It feels like a moment in the history of the forest movement in America that was really made for American forests. So I want to tell you a little bit of a story that captures that for me. About 2 weeks ago, I had to give the opening remarks for a climate change learning lab that we hosted, that American Forests hosted. And this is something that we pulled together that drew leaders from 16 states across the U.S., from as far away as Hawaii, who traveled to D.C. To be coached by American Forests and some of our allied organizations in how to use forests as a climate change solution. And as you can imagine, anyone who's working on climate change these days is pretty daunted by the challenges ahead. It's easy for people to get down. And so as the person who was charged with opening this event, I had to think pretty long and hard, what on earth could I say that would give people the encouragement to work as hard as they could for the next 3 days that we were all going to be together? And so I found myself going through the little library that we have here in the office at American Forests and looking at some of the old historic books that we have from other times in American history when our forests and our natural resources were at risk. And I ended up pulling documents from back in the 1870s when American Forests was founded and our forests were in total disrepair. And as one of our first acts, American Forests brought together 50,000 people from across America traveling by horse and foot to come together to start the forest movement. And I pulled a book from the Second American Forest Congress, an event that American Forests organized here in Washington, D.C., with President Theodore Roosevelt as the opening speaker, and where the next speaker was James Wilson, who at the time was both the president of American Forests and also the Secretary of Agriculture. And in this leadership event that American Forests organized, and this happened to be in 1905, this event ultimately ended with resolutions that called on the U.S. Congress to create the U.S. Forest Service, to create the national forests, and to really institutionalize the forest conservation movement in America. And within 1 month after this American Forest Congress, organized by American Forests, the U.S. Congress had passed legislation to create the U.S. Forest Service and to create the national forest. And I could tell that kind of a story at recurring moments in American history when our forests and our natural resources needed us and this organization stepped up with partners as a leader and essentially led the charge to get it right. And so I ended up standing in front of this group of people with these old historic books from our library in my hand and put my reading glasses on, and I actually read to people from what folks said at those dark times and how they came together and how they gave us this incredible bounty of forests that we have in America today. So that really, I think, set that entire event on a certain course. And I know for me, in thinking about having the incredible privilege to take over as the 40th leader of American forests in that incredibly proud history, it also has really informed my thinking about what's most important for us to do next. And so I want to focus on a couple aspects of that. So you again, as you know, core supporters, critical inside supporters of this organization, can really understand as you're seeing different things from us, you know, what's the through line? What really connects our strategy as an organization? And so there are two things I want to focus on tonight, which is this idea of leadership and what that means for where we're trying to take this organization, and what are we leading on? What's the direction? What are the challenges that we think are most pressing and significant for America today that forests can be part of the solution to those challenges? So the first thing I want to talk about is a little bit about, as we think about leadership, what form does that take? And I think one of the things that American forests has done incredibly well in recent years is leading by doing. And that's more than anything, that has been tree planting. And we talk to you all and other supporters of American forests all the time about the power of planting trees. We count the number of trees that we plant. It's a real and tangible way that we can change the world around us. And as I pointed out before, with one of our first acts being tree planting, it's always been part of how American forests has tried to change the world and lead healthy and resilient forests all across America, from cities to wilderness. Planting trees from cities to wilderness is always going to be part of how we create change. And we have some ideas I'll talk more about how to do more of that than ever and do it in new and different ways that can create greater impact. But if you look across the history of American forests, and I think we've done, if it's fair, a little bit less of this in recent years, and we'd like to do a lot more of it, is to lead in other ways, is to lead with our vision and our ideas and our expertise, to lead movements, and to lead through invention. If you look at the history of American forests, some of our greatest breakthroughs, some of our highest impact moments have been when the forest community got stuck on something and we invented a solution. A great example is we actually invented the field at American Forest, the technique for how to map urban tree canopy with computers. And those maps that we created with computers led to sparking an urban forest movement that we've subsequently been part of, planting trees in cities all across America and doing it in the highest impact locations. So that history of leadership in lots of different ways, with our vision, our ideas, our work on policy, our work on inventing new technologies and new solutions, is really the full richness of what this organization can be. And so a real priority for me and for the organization going forward in the future is to make sure that while we continue to drive this tremendous on-the-ground progress through tree planting, that we really step all the way back into the fullness of the leadership this organization can provide as a movement leader and as an inventor. And so I want to give you some really specific examples of what that looks like. But first, what I want to do is talk about leadership on what? Leadership toward what? And for me, this is sort of about defining our mission at this moment in time. You know, one thing that's kind of funny I've found with a lot of nonprofit organizations is that when you started a new nonprofit, as I did a year ago here at American Forest, people say, well, this is our mission, and often talk about it as though it's static, as though it's, you know, the organization's only ever had one mission and it's only ever going to have one mission. And it's my point of view that great organizations have a core mission, but that it really adapts and evolves over time to the needs of the moment. And so we have a core mission here at American Forest around healthy and resilient forests again, across the country and cities, just as much as in wilderness areas. We think we want this idea of healthy, resilient forests and all those benefits that they can provide to people everywhere. But at any given moment in time, what we need from those forests and the priorities for how we need to organize our work around forests is altered by the issues of the moment and the threats and the challenges and the needs of people and wildlife and nature at any given moment in time. And so what I want to talk about is how we've taken our mission, and at this particular moment in time, we've really lasered in on a few key issues that are going to be the forest for what drivers for the work that we're going to do here in the years ahead and the things that we really want to lead on. And so there are four things I'll mention, but I'm only going to focus on a couple of them tonight. The first is climate change, which really is the threshold existential issue for forests in America, in ways that I'll speak more about in a moment. The second is equity and opportunity for all Americans. If you're like me, you day in and day out read the paper and look at what's happening around you and feel concerned about this growing gulf between people who have opportunities and richness in their lives and people who are struggling to get by and keep up. And there are actually some really profound ways that we think that forests can help to create greater equity and opportunity in America. I'll speak more about that in a moment. The third is sustainable and clean water supplies into the future. And forests are the backbone of where we get our water in this country. Over half of the water that we drink every day in this country comes from our forests. And so we absolutely have to strategically use forests as essentially the drinking water system for the country. And then the fourth is wildlife. And again, if you're like me and you look at songbirds in a tree and you wonder how in this harsh and increasingly developing world that these fragile little creatures can survive every day, you know how important it is to make sure that we leave enough space on the planet for our fellow furred and feathered friends. And forests are the most critical habitat on Earth. And in fact, certain types of forests are particularly important for certain species. And so we have a critical role to make sure that all the right mix of forests are out there for all the species that need them. But you've probably heard quite a bit in the past from American forests about water and wildlife. And so what I actually really want to focus on tonight are two things that you've been hearing a lot about from us in the last year or two, but might feel a bit newer to you. And so I want to talk a bit more about climate change and about equity and opportunity and why we think right now this is the moment for American forests to really lead on those issues. And I want to give you some specific examples of how we're using our focus on leadership to address those issues. So the first is climate change. You probably know as a diehard American forest supporter that forests are like a thermostat. They're like a thermometer for the planet. They are all about climate. And the reason that certain trees are in certain places and are combined in certain ways is about climate and soil and other factors like that. And so when the climate changes very rapidly, forests just simply can't keep up. And the sort of signature example of this is in California, where over 130 million trees have died just since 2010, and most of that since 2014. But that's just one of many examples, and it's all across the country, not just in those fire-prone western forests that get a lot of the headlines, but in the south and the northeast. We're seeing forests just struggling to keep up with and adjust to these very rapid changes in the climate and the way that, for example, speeds certain kinds of pest infestations or comes along with drought or exacerbates risk from fire. And so if we're going to continue to have all of the forest values that we care about, including things like water and wildlife, it starts with us helping forests figure out how to adapt to climate change. And that's going to mean a very active engagement, a hands-on management and restoration approach from American forests and government agencies and all the folks, corporate landowners and all the folks who are out there impacting our forests every single day. But the interesting thing about forests and climate change, and this is the other side of that equation, is that forests are actually one of the most powerful ways to stop climate change. that right now, U.S. forests alone sequester about 14% of the carbon emissions that come out of our smokestacks and tailpipes every single year. And in fact, there's good science that says that could double or more if we invest in things like planting more trees and special techniques to take care of our forests. But the flip side is if we don't get it right, we could lose all of that capacity that forests have to capture carbon and slow climate change. Forests could even turn into a source of carbon emissions instead of this huge, powerful sink that we have today. So at American Forest, we call forests the swing voter on climate change. And we've got broad agreements on this from government agencies and other organizations and science organizations that forests probably hold the key to whether we're going to be able to address climate change. And so that's the reason why we're placing such an intense focus on that. It's sort of a threshold question that our organization needs to lead on and answer both in our own work, but also help other people answer in ways I'll describe more in just a moment. And then in terms of forests as a source of equity and opportunity, you know, one of the things that's really exciting about forests is that they're great job creators. You probably think about that most in terms of rural communities where you can imagine big forests and lots of mills. But in fact, there's a tremendous number of jobs, tens of thousands of jobs, in managing urban forests. And so we think there's a huge opportunity to use forest jobs as a way to target new employment to the people who need it the most, underserved populations in cities, folks like returning citizens and disadvantaged communities, as well as rural areas that are struggling with job creation. But there's also another equity and opportunity dimension of forests, particularly in cities, which is that forests are the lungs of cities. And so if you look at neighborhoods that don't have enough trees, and in fact, there's an incredible correlation across the country that low-income neighborhoods generally don't have enough trees. Affluent neighborhoods do. That the lack of those trees in low-income neighborhoods means that people living in those areas suffer more air pollution, but also have greater heat in those neighborhoods, creates urban heat islands, which means that people who often live in homes with no air conditioning and pre-existing health conditions are suffering heat waves far worse than the rest of us simply because they don't have enough trees in their neighborhood. So we think that there are some ways that we can really step into this question, and by targeting our work, particularly our urban forest work, to those neighborhoods that need it the most, we can both address some of the economic challenges that those folks face, as well as some of the environmental and health challenges that they're facing as well. So I want to close with some thoughts on how we will lead. I talked about what we want to lead on, what kind of changes we want to create in the world, what solutions forests can provide. And so we see ourselves leading in four ways. I started by saying we're going to keep leading by doing. The great thing about planting trees is that everyone can do it. American Forest can do it. We've had school children out there doing it with us, corporate volunteers. It's an amazingly simple and yet powerful act that makes people feel hopeful. It gives us a chance to take charge of our world around us, and we're going to keep doing it ourselves, and we're going to keep trying to help a lot of people participate in the simple act of tree planting. And the one trick that we have to bring to that is that as we do that work, we have to be really strategic about applying it to these challenges like climate change, creating tree equity in our cities and targeting that work to the right neighborhoods. And so there's some specific things that we're doing in our partnerships with in cities and landscapes alike to get the right tree in the right place and to make sure that we're doing our tree planting in a way that creates these particular outcomes and benefits. Things like sequestering as much carbon dioxide as possible out of the atmosphere and shading people's homes who need it the most. The second thing that we're focusing on doing, and this is what we've done a lot of historically but less lately, is to lead movements. And in the case of our work on forests and climate change, American Forest is leading something called the Forest Climate Working Group. This is an incredible coalition of more than 40 organizations, and it includes everything from large timber companies like Weyerhaeuser, which is actually the largest forest landowner in North America. They own 27 million acres of land, It includes timber and lumber manufacturing companies. It includes government agencies like the U.S. Forest Service and the National Association of State Foresters. It includes lots of other nonprofits like us, a great cross-section of conservation organizations. And it includes academic institutions and carbon market experts, really everyone in the forest sector who has an interest in forests and climate change and ways to help. And there are lots of other partnerships and coalitions that we're stepping in to form and to lead so that we have lots of people working together on the issues that we think are most important at this moment in time. Second thing that we're doing in terms of leading movements is shaping policy. And so just as an example, I led off by talking about this wonderful climate learning lab that we hosted a couple of weeks ago for representatives from 16 states. And what we were doing was helping those 16 states, and they included big states like California and Washington and New York that have vast resources they could spend on forests for climate change solutions. And we were essentially coaching them on how they could, with policy and investment, get the most climate change impact out of their forests. And many of those states have now gone back from this learning lab and are already moving quickly to establish new policies that will lead to major, major changes in forests on the ground, things like replanting hundreds of thousands of acres of forest and conserving vast areas of forest from development. So I think for us that's a reminder that we can create change in a lot of ways. We can lead by doing, but we can also lead by coaching others with our expertise and our vision to help them lead on these issues as well. And then finally, knowledge sharing. We really think knowledge sharing is a critical important component of leading movements. And right now, the most important thing for us to share knowledge on is this idea of the right tree in the right place. How do you plant trees in Miami that can withstand a hurricane? How do you plant trees, as I mentioned before, in California so that they can withstand drought? These are questions we don't just need to figure these out in our own work, but as we come up with answers to those questions, we need to share them with other people. And so our movement leadership is about creating knowledge-sharing networks so that we're figuring out best practices and then we're sharing them with other people and organizations. And then the last two areas of leadership, the third area of leadership is with innovation. I mentioned earlier that American forest has this history of finding places where we're stuck and coming up with strategies to or new tools to get around those challenges. And so just one example I'll give you that we're really excited about is this month we're launching a new partnership with the Tree Care Industry Association. This is an association of 2,300 businesses across the country representing tens of thousands of employees. And this partnership is designed to solve a problem for these companies and a problem for equity and opportunity in America, which is that these tree care businesses, they can't find enough people right now for the workforce that they need. And they're actually turning away work, tree care work, because they can't find enough workers. At the same time, we have many areas in cities where you have unemployment that's still well over 10 or 15%. It's still 2008. In many of these underserved communities, and there are folks who are desperate for economic opportunities. And so through this new partnership with the Tree Care Industry Association, we're going to spend our first year actually inventing a model to link together the work that we're doing in these neighborhoods, the relationships that we're building with these folks in underserved communities through our community tree planting programs, and these professional apprenticeship programs and other vehicles that the tree care industry has to bring people into long-term full-time employment, really great credentialed careers. So we're really excited about that. We just got a major new $700,000 grant that will be the cornerstone of how we're going to do this invention on the front end with the Tree Care Industry Association. But then we're going to take that work that we, the model that we developed in this first year, and we are going to start applying it in cities all around the country and sharing our model with others so that other people can use the same approach. And then lastly, I want to close with this. We're going to lead with our voice. And it's easy to underestimate the power of communications and the power of storytelling. But I think that's one of the things that American Forest has done best over our history, is we've been a great communicator and a great convener. And so two examples of what we have planned in this area. One is that we're going to launch a new tree equity communications campaign. We think most Americans aren't even aware how many of their fellow citizens, particularly low-income citizens, are living in areas that simply don't have trees and are suffering as a result. And we think that if we can raise awareness about this issue, it's going to create the political will to do something about it. So with our communications capacity, we're going to be designing a campaign which we hope will go viral, and it'll really raise this into a top-tier issue in the American consciousness. And then lastly, I started by talking about our history with hosting the second American Forest Congress, and in fact, that was one of six American Forest Congresses that we hosted, one every 20 years or so, from the 1870s through 1975. Well, we missed out on the seventh one. For some reason, we didn't host that one in 1995. But we're ready to step back in to leading the next American Forest Congress. So we've already started outreach to other leading groups in the forest community and positioned ourselves to organize in 2020 or 2021 the eighth American Forest Congress. And we think, like that one I described in 1905, we're at a moment where forests are a top-tier issue for this country, but they're not being treated that way politically. They're not seen that way by the public at the level that they need to be. And so we're seeing this 8th American Forest Congress as a chance to bring all of our partners in the forest community together with one voice to identify what do we need to deliver forests as a solution for this country into the future, and really create the kind of strategy and common cause to work together to get ultimately the political and public support that we need to be successful.